I'd ask you to turn this morning for our sermon to the book of Hosea, chapter 14. The prophet Hosea, chapter 14, between Daniel and Joel. I want to read together that chapter. Again, let us give our attention to this portion of God's Word. Hosea chapter 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Amen. Again, we look for God's blessing on the reading of His Word. With that Word opened and read, let us again seek God's face for His help in this place today. Our Father in heaven, we again lay our souls open before Thee. We are the sheep of Thy pasture. We are in need of the Jesus Christ, our Lord, and His work in us. That He would be to us today, Emmanuel, in this service, in this book, in these words of the Holy Spirit. Lord, work in our souls, that work that no man can do, but He can. We ask in His name, amen. In this portion of the prophet Hosea, we have many gracious promises. Not unlike some of the other ones that prophesied about the same time. We have in the first verse of this book and their following some of the times in which he prophesied, some of the kings. He did in the days of Uzziah and Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, those are the kings of Judah, but also the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. So did Isaiah. So did Amos. And so did Micah. They all were contemporaries. Some think that Hosea was the longest, that he was the first of all the writing prophets, even before Isaiah. And continued, some say, maybe 80 years. He lived out past some of them to see his prophecies fulfilled. But these three we've mentioned with Hosea, Isaiah particularly. Remember, we had a prophecy not only of great destructions in his book, as Hosea does, and these other ones, the great rebukes, great predictions of destruction, of captivity, of God's great judgment, of His reproofs, of His calls, but also great gospel promises. Remember, Isaiah 7:14 was referenced in Matthew 1, that a virgin shall bring forth a son, to call His name Emmanuel. Of course, we have that other one in chapter 9, verse 6. Talk about His sufferings in Isaiah 53. His great calls to trust in Him for salvation, without money, without price. Isaiah 55. We're also directed in our Scripture reading today to that great prophecy in Micah, another contemporary of Hosea. Chapter 5, where we read in Matthew that Bethlehem of Judea, though there's littlest among a thousand, that is where Christ would be born. The scribes and the elders directed them, the chief priests, to that portion when Herod desired to know. Again, at the end of Micah 7:18, we have that great text of the wonderful grace of God. Let me just turn it up and read it. Where Samuel Davies wrote that hymn that reflects this verse. So 7:18, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." In fact, Micah is a shortened form of the Hebrew word that means "who is like Jehovah." These are great promises here, though in the midst of also great apostasy, great disobedience, great sin, and great prophecies of judgment. Well, we come in our own text here in Hosea to one of these more comfortable words to Israel. What a way to end, as Micah did, his prophecy. Not all of them do. And with that great comfort, that great encouragement, that great promise of grace to those that are addressed. And so I want to look particularly with you today at verse 5, that first phrase, "I will be as the dew unto Israel." I will be as the dew unto Israel. I want to say first that Christ is our dew. That Christ is the dew to Israel. When the Lord Jehovah says, "I will be unto them," unto Israel, "as the dew," I think we should understand, as we should, the Old Testament Scriptures in general, when they show forth God's favor, when they show forth God communicating grace and mercy into the lives, either of the nation, but individuals particularly, it is Christ Jesus in view. As I think Philip Henry pointed out, Matthew Henry's father, God outside of Christ is to us a judge, is to us a consuming fire, is to us our enemy. For we have fallen in Adam. He who was once our friend is now against us, because of our own sin. Not anything He did, of course, but our own rebellion, our own apostasy, our own falling away from Him. But in Christ Jesus, there's the grace. There's the favor. You see something of this in John chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17. and of His fullness, that is of Christ, we all have received. And grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God, verse 18, at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Don't think this is saying that, you know, during the time of Moses, there was no grace. But whatever grace, whatever truth came, it was always by Jesus Christ. Always. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 that when the children of Israel in the wilderness, they ate the same spiritual meat, they ate the same spiritual drink, and the rock that followed them was Christ. Christ was in the Old Testament with the truth and the grace. What did our Savior Himself say? But that Abraham, that's before Moses, saw Christ's day and rejoiced. David, as well as Abraham, those two great believers, are the patterns, the actual prototypes of us in the New Testament. It's the same way of salvation, more clearly and simply revealed in the New than in the Old. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us that all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen. That is in Christ Jesus, to the glory of God by us. So I want to come back then, having that thought in our mind, when we see that God says to Israel, I will be as the dew unto you. And the Christ here is speaking. The anointed of God. The Emmanuel. Of course, before the incarnation, before Bethlehem. And yet ever working. Ever working. The grace and truth. He was the Lamb, I'm sure you remember, slain before the foundation of the world. And that's before Moses, I think we all agree. So, Christ is here being that due to Israel. What does due accomplish? What does it bring? Well, it's that moisture. I don't know if you can really see it. I don't think I've ever seen it. It falls from heaven upon the ground and it refreshes, it wets it. It gives it the moisture that it needs so that the, as it says in the next part of the verse, He shall grow as the lily and cast forth roots as Lebanon. It gives that refreshment, it gives that moisture, it gives that needed juice to grow, to refresh, to invigorate. Such things, as it says here, as the lily and as Lebanon, the branches, etc. Our grass, our crops need the dew. And so Christ says to Israel, I will be as the dew unto Israel. I'll be as the dew to you. How does He do that? Well, as we said, He comes down from heaven. Genesis talks about the dew of heaven. The dew of heaven. Because that's where it drops. It comes down. And so Christ has always been that messenger of God from heaven. Remember we studied a year or so ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago now probably, finished up a little less than a year ago, but the angel of the Lord in our Sunday school. And that messenger, that's what the word angel is, that messenger of the Lord. The same idea. In the Old Testament particularly, was Christ coming. But where did He come from? From heaven. From heaven. And so He is here. He's saying, I'm to do unto Israel, coming from heaven. Coming from heaven. He is that great communicator of not only revelation, but grace. The grace and the truth from God. He gives strength or effect to that which He brings down. Not all, we'll talk about this in a moment, but not everything that gets due grows. Stones don't grow. You know? Not the right kind of thing. But the dew falls on it. And so He gives effect. He says, I will be as the dew and He shall grow. He shall grow, etc. Comes to us from heaven to strengthen, to grow, to prosper us in our salvation. We'll just leave it at that for now. We'll try to develop that in just a moment. So first of all, Christ is the dew to Israel. But secondly here, Christ is our dew as we repent. Not just a blanket statement here. Remember, if you look back with me at the first few verses there, He says to Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You know, Israel's looked at in a certain light here. In a fallen condition. In a sinful state. And I don't necessarily know that this means complete unregeneracy. In other words, those who have never had the grace of God. But at least we can say that in their current position, in their current life, in their current words and actions, they're living in sin. They're living in sin. But God in His mercy says to Israel, return. Return. Don't stay there. Don't stay away. Rutherford said one time to a woman that he corresponded with that evidently felt far from Christ at that time, though she was not an unbeliever. He said some things to commend Christ to her. But he said, come near to Christ will speak more than I can. Or remember what Philip said to Nathanael when Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? When Philip said, look, we found Christ who's called Jesus of Nazareth. That Moses spoke of, the prophet spoke of. So what did Philip tell him? Come and see. What is God telling you today? Telling me today, if we find ourselves in sin, we're struggling, we're living in it. He said, don't stay there. Come and see the grace and the truth. The dew that I will be. Come and see. Return to the Lord thy God. How does He tell us to return? Verse 2, take with you words and turn to the Lord. But how gracious is He? How accommodating is Christ? He doesn't just say, take words and leave it to us to figure out. He gives us the words. When He says this, say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. He gives them particulars. Asher shall not save us, nor Assyria. We will not ride upon horses. In other words, Egypt. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Look at verse 8. One of the effects of Christ being due will be that Ephraim will say, what have I to do any more with idols? We cast away our particular sins. Christ saying, take these words, take up your sins and name them to me. Repent. He's not just saying, well, you know, we slipped here and there and the other place, but he says, we will not say anymore. We will not do anymore this, that, and the other thing that we have done. Relying upon His grace, He says, receive us graciously. Take away all iniquity. Do you see the due? Comes to those who repent. Notice verse 4. That response, if we come this way, I will heal their backsliding. Brother, backsliding is a terrible thing. Proverbs says, the backslider in heart shall have his fill of his ways. Quite quoted there, that's the idea. And what a way that is. It's terrible. It's again, it's a falling away from God, sliding away from, backsliding. But brethren, he says, don't stay there. Christ came in that manger to do what? The angel said, you should call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Same message. Genesis on. Same Christ from Genesis on, but it was manifested in the fullness of time there in Bethlehem. But He's speaking here today in Hosea as well. Come, I will take your iniquity. I'll heal it. I'll heal you. And I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from Him. That is to whom Christ will be as due. Christ will be as due. Maybe you and I are just wanting to take those words that God in Christ has given us for a particular sin or sins that we have slid back into. We find it hard to get hold of it. Hard to be as sincere as we'd like to be in it. Let us look to that one that's telling us. He wants us to come back. He says, return to me. Return. You've fallen, but come back. Be like the man in the gospel who said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Say, Lord, I repent. I take these words, but help them. They're not as sincere, not as strong as I want them, and as I intend to mean them. And receive me graciously. And you will be given, as that promise says there, the ability to render the calves of your lips. We thought on Thanksgiving service in Hebrews. That's the sacrifices. The fruit of our lips, or the calves of our lips, giving praise to God. So Christ is due to us when we repent of our sins. And thirdly, right along with this, is Christ is our due as we believe. So as we repent and now as we believe. Verse 4, we mentioned, He will heal our backslidings. He will love us freely. His anger toward us is turned away. And He'll be as that due. I'm just going to read these things. Jeremiah Burroughs says there are none, and surely there is, of these great encouragements to His prayer. That sometimes it's very difficult for our faith to think that God will actually heal us, that Christ can actually be the dew and make us to rise up again, to be refreshed in our souls. But He is well able. He piles them up. So He says, He will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow, that is Israel, shall grow as the lily and cast forth His roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and His beauty shall be as the olive tree, and His smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under His shadow shall return. They shall revive as corn, as the corn, and grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. God promises great things, many things, wonderful things to the soul that repents and believes in Him. Matthew Henry says, if we take the foregoing words, in other words, the ones that we read in verses 1 to 3 of repentance and coming back to God, in our coming to God, we may take home with us those following words we just read for our faith to feast upon and see how these answer those. If we're coming back to God in repentance, we will see Christ being our due, healing our backsliding, receiving us graciously. And all these other things He piles up to encourage us to come to Him. He talks about Ephraim here. In verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? He says, for me is thy fruit found, at the end of that verse. And Ephraim means fruitful. As you find back when Ephraim was named in Genesis. I want to say here, just as an aside, that when Christ is speaking to us to turn back to Him, and to repent, to take these words, and to count on His grace, and His work in us on our repentance, upon our repentance. It's not the same thing as some that teach. You just need to call God's blessings down. You name your life as successful. You name your life as growing. As if it were like Ephraim. And all will be fruitful. All will be successful. All will be going well. All will be healed. That's not what is in view here. Because not all Israel, not all Ephraim, because they were called Israel, Prince with God, called Ephraim fruitful, actually experienced it. But those who believed in the gospel promises. And as God granted it to them. Many of these believers that experienced forgiveness and restoration of soul went to Babylon. They didn't get to stay in their land. Think of Daniel. The righteousest man, one of the righteousest men in the whole Old Testament. Period. It wasn't because he lacked faith. It wasn't because he didn't call out the right name on his life or something. But wasn't Christ due to him? Submit he was. Wasn't Christ one that caused him to grow as a lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon? He was given not only just some temporal prosperity and influence in the kingdom, Babylon and Media Persia and others, but also he was one who was able to plead the promises of God for the restoration of Israel. In chapter 9, as he was reading the prophecy of Jeremiah. So don't be taken in by these ones that's fairly prevalent in our day. Christian bookstores are full of this stuff. I think the TV is and some of the radio. But remember, we come to God by faith in His Word. And He deals with us graciously, according to His will. We're children. We may want certain things to be successful, certain things to work out like we like them. But our Father in heaven, whom Christ represents and, as He says, declares to us, knows what we need best. Think about your own children. They're little. They want all kinds of little things and stuff. And many times we have to deny them because we are training them for something better, something larger, something much more fulfilling, much more profitable, though they could never see it at that time. And so our Father, through Christ, deals with us as the due. He loves us freely. He loves us freely. Christ revives us when we need Him, doesn't He? We need Him in our sins, of course, and that's the main context here. We're away from Him spiritually. And notice all these things, as we said, all the kind of growth, all the kind of beautification, the strength, the smell. You think of that almost all-round blessing and refreshment of Christ in the soul, in the life of the believer. And that's what I think we need to think of today. As we would take hold of this promise and look at it, as He gives us grace to repent and to turn back to Him for whatever sin it may be. As Matthew Henry said, let's take these things home and see how God answers to being in Christ the due unto Israel. He will meet you in the Word of God. Not only here in the public means, which is so important. You know, COVID has shut down some churches and different states, maybe different countries too. Haven't read much on that, but they need to be open. God's people need to gather as much as possible. Christ says He's in the midst of the two and the three, or whatever assembly. He was in the midst of the thousands on Pentecost. But the gathered people, the visible church, you know, not a virtual church. Though sometimes we have to use those means in extreme cases. Look at the Covenanters and others like them. What did they do under threat of death? Well, they gathered as best they could in secrecy. Our brothers in China and other places, I'm sure, are doing the same. Because Christ wants us to be together. And He promises that due will be there. Let us, when we come to the preaching of the Word and our prayer together and the sacraments, let us pray before we come and while we're here that Christ would be the due to us. He would refresh us. And He would strengthen. He would moisten our dry hearts. Not through the week of this world that we come from. So many conflicting things. So many things that are filthy. But so many things also that are infidel. Unbelieving. Against the Lord and His Word and His Christ. It can harden our hearts. It can cause us to start to slip into that unbelief. As well as to other ways in which the world corrupts us or stains us. Or causes us to get dirty. Well, let us pray. Let us look in faith to Jesus to come through these appointed means. You know, we don't have to have a certain personality, you know, a certain slickness or whatever we might want to say. But we do need the Word of God read and preached. We need the congregation through its minister and in our prayer meetings as well, to pray to the Father in heaven. We do need to observe the supper of the Lord till He come, and baptism as well, with an eye to Him, expecting from Him the grace. They don't work automatically. Reading the Word, preaching the Word, praying, taking the sacraments. It'll be used by faith. Hebrews tells us very clearly, the gospel was preached unto those in the wilderness. Did not profit them. He tells us why. Because it was not mixed with faith. That's why we preach a believing use of the means of grace, of the ways that God communicates grace, just like I say, not automatic, but by belief, by expecting Him to honor those means for Christ's sake. And our sanctification, that's part of it there, the means of grace, but the trials we have to go through, the different providences God brings to us. Do we not need Christ to be as the dew to us then? To refresh us with His promises that even though we don't understand our way, the Lord delighteth in it. That the Lord is directing it. Remember we thought a few weeks ago that the Lord's ways often are hidden. They are not known, as the psalm says. And yet they're there. But we cannot see them. We need Christ to be that dew that refreshes our soul in the midst of a storm of our lives, as it were. We cannot see God's way. We cannot see His plan. We cannot see sense in it. But we can remember that His ways are there even though they're not known consciously to us. Oh, that's Christ being our dew. He's refreshing us. He's softening our hearts. He's giving us growth. What about when we come to death? To cross that gulf into eternity. And we may know it. Many people do. They know when they're approaching. I mentioned Rutherford again when he was in trouble again for his gospel adherence against the government who was trying to impose other things on them. And he was cited to appear again before a court to answer for certain charges. And he said, well, just tell them that I won't be coming. I have a higher court to appear to and I will be there first. He knew he was going to die and he died before that date ever came. They say we have many times, you know, Peter said that he knew he was going to put off his tabernacle very soon. We know many times we're coming to death. Christ needs to be our due then too. It's a scary thing. Joel Beakey pointed out in his little book, Why Christ Came, about 31 meditations on the coming of Christ, which I commend to you. It's very good. They said for Him, He came, one of the reasons, to die. That was His purpose. That was His goal. That was His mission. But for us, it's the opposite. We were made to live. And so us, death, has that great fear. The great uncertainty. We're repulsed by it. Naturally. But we need Christ to come with us there too, do we not? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Christ as our dew, refresh us to say, my child, my sheep, my lamb, You're in my hand. And no one can pluck You out. The Father's will is to save everyone that comes to Him. Remember what He says after that? And to raise them up at the last day. He will not lose us in that transition from the life here to the eternal life while we await the resurrection of the dead. Oh, may Christ be our due then. to refresh and to strengthen, to moist in our hearts in that time of anxiety. Simply ask us, are we even desirous of Jesus being the dew unto our souls? Do we see a need for Him? Do we see that, yes, we have slid away. We've backslidden. We need to come back, and God is so gracious in Christ saying, return. Or as Philip said to Nathanael, come and see how good and gracious and merciful and healing Christ is. Oh, then He will be your due. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we desire that we might be in such a case with those of Ephraim that turned back to God. Maybe from large, lifelong wickedness, or maybe just, Lord, from small sins that no one else really saw much, but they knew. The prayerlessness, the lack of reading and believing the Bible, and many other such things. The pride and the arrogancy, the lack of gentleness. Lord, whatever it may be, but yet they came back. Lord, we would desire to be with them today, so that Christ Jesus our Lord would be unto us due. Lord, bless these words to our souls, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen.